Hi, it's Jace Varden of Pledge Music, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Elonga.
Episode 66.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Elonga.
Hey, what's up everyone? Jan Elonga here with the Jazz Spotlight Podcast, the show for the do-it-yourself musicians, for the independent artists who want to know more about what's happening in music today, want to know more about the latest trends, they want to get some great tips from experts, from music stars, and want to learn more about how they can improve the way they promote their music. Today we talk about how you can get your fans' support for your next project. So let's say, for example, you want to release an album and you want to make your fans part of that experience. You want to get their support, both in terms of promotion, but also in terms of money. So you want to get some funding. You want to do some crowdfunding and you're wondering how you can do that. We talked about crowdfunding before in episode 49, but today we really talk about the process of launching a new project like an album release and get the support of your fan base. So we talk about the stages, like the pre-launch phase, the launch phase, and what to do afterwards. So once you have launched your project, so your CD has been released, how you can continue to build the momentum to your fan base. My guest today is the head of US operations for Pledge Music, Jace Varden. Like always, you find the show notes with the links to everything Jace and I talk about at thejazzspotlight.com/episode66. Here is how to get your fan supports for your next project with Jace Varden of Pledge Music. Have fun. Hey everyone, how's it going? I'm here with another special guest for a new episode of the Jazz Spotlight Podcast. And guys, I can assure you, you're gonna love this one. Today we talk about how to get your fans' support for your next project. So let's say you want to release a new album and you want to get your crowd involved, you want to get their support and maybe also support in a financial way, you want to get some funding from your crowd. And we're gonna hear more about that with a great guest. My guest is the head of US operations for Pledge Music, a platform that is simply unbelievable. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show Jace Varden. Hey Jace, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. I know we were talking before the interview. You told me that there's still the snowstorm there in the Boston area where you are. So it's kind of perfect weather for a podcast interview, wouldn't you say?
It is. I've got my hot cup of coffee here, some nice beans from a coffee shop actually in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm reveling in the New England Patriots Super Bowl win. So you've got me jazzed up, so to say.
Sounds perfect, and it's really international. You know, Boston, Helsinki, Melbourne through your coffee sounds like fun. And Jace, thanks so much for being here. And I want to dive right into today's content. And the first question I have to ask you, I'm sure that you know, everyone who is kind of keeps himself or herself updated with what happens in music knows about Pledge Music. But can you give the listeners a short overview of what Pledge Music is for those who maybe don't know about it?
Absolutely, sure. We're just over 5 years old. We're approaching 6 years old. We've been working directly with artists, and we provide a platform on which artists can engage directly with their fans throughout the creative process of making an album, or actually the process of pre-selling some type of music creation. Mm-hmm. So we are a team of people, and we're a home from which this creativity can manifest itself into a really unique marketing campaign to keep fans involved and to strengthen that relationship between the artist and fan.
Love it. And there, you really have kind of your community, or the members of the Pledge Music community, are really musicians from pretty much every genre, right?
That's correct. Yeah. It's pretty wide cast in that sense. And really, I believe that's a testament to the fact that each and every artist, regardless of genre, has a core fan base. They have a core group of people who love and support what they do. Mm-hmm. So the concept behind this and the idea of this artist to fan connection is genre-less.
Love it. No, it's you know, it's a great platform. And really, guys, if you have never heard of Pledge Music, which would be surprising to me, but anyways, go to pledgemusic.com to check it out. And like always, you find the show notes with the links to everything Jesse and I talk about in this episode in the show note page of this episode. So everything is going to be linked there. And okay, Jace, you told us about Pledge Music. So it's really kind of a great platform for those who want to release an album or anyways, have a new project coming up, and it's a great way to involve their fan base. So can you tell the listeners kind of how it works? Let's say we want, you and I are a duo and we want to release an album through Pledge Music. How does it work? How does the process work?
Sure. Pledge Music would prefer that you came to us with this idea either by signing up organically, or perhaps our A&R team went out and they targeted our duo here. Mm-hmm. But essentially, we want to be ahead of the curve as far as possible. It's because there is so many interesting things to fans that happen in the album planning process, during recording, as artwork is put together, as liner notes are put together. So we like to be anywhere from 2 to 6, 8 months ahead of when the album's actually going to come out. Mm-hmm. So we would start and Pledge Music here would assign a campaign manager, and perhaps we'd bring in our director of marketing or his team to really discuss this campaign and what's involved, to put together an appropriate marketing timeline, to work on the product mix, to balance out and budget what proper items and experiences should be offered at what price points. To discuss international shipping and just make sure overall the project is going to yield the right margin for us, the duo, to be able to go out and do what we want to do. And then also during that pre-planning process, we'd be discussing the content strategy. And that's the real kind of communication between the fans. What is it that the fans want to see and want to do and want to be a part of? And how do we deliver that to them on the Pledge Music platform? Is it through a multitude of videos, a mix of photos, dropping some early tracks or some rough mixes? Perhaps it is surfacing 4 or 5 pieces of artwork when they're delivered to us, the artist, and allowing the fans to maybe vote on what artwork they believe should be the inside cover or something like that. It becomes a real kind of planning out of a marketing timeline, balancing it with a budget, and then developing that into a proper content strategy that we'd be working with Pledge Music directly on.
Okay, so the kind of the takeaways that I get from what you said, like the number one is to really plan ahead of time and not like, for example, let's say 2 weeks before, but you said 6, 8 months before the album is actually going to be released, and you really explain how it works, that sign up and then there is maybe a manager that works closely with our duo, and we really go through every aspect of the project campaign. And in terms of thinking, what is needed before a project, obviously every project is different, every artist has different goals, different audiences, different goals that they want to achieve. But what do you think are the really those kind of key elements that musicians should really sit down and think about really before even thinking about, okay, I want to do a Pledge Music project or campaign?
Sure. I mean, the first key element is always going to be the creative side of it. What is the the theme, the tone, the concept behind the music that's going to be recorded. Some artists might not work that way. Some artists might be, you know, a little bit more improvisational in nature, and that develops. But essentially, that's context of what the music is or what the project's about is going to set the tone for the project. And it's also going to impact how, you know, the images around the project brand out and things like that. So I would say apart from that kind of, you know, the core kind of musical context of it, it would have to be the budget. I think a lot of artists who are doing it with a small team or, you know, succumb to the do it yourself type of thing, I guess, which we truly believe there's no real do it yourself. There is do it with the best people you can surround yourself with.
Yeah.
The budgeting phase is the phase I think that needs to have the amount of detail that sometimes we see, you know, maybe slightly overlooked. It's talked about, it's understood, but when you dive a lot deeper into, you know, what the end financial result is going to be, some real strict planning and budgeting, you know, can be put in place to save the financial outcome of the project. And I think, you know, after that, I would say the next thing is really, what is the conversation that we want to have with our fans? And how does that play out? So, musical context, the overall theme of the project is the first thing. And then budgeting would be the next thing. The third kind of in a row being, how are we going to deliver, or what is the feedback, or what is the interplay between our fans and us that we're comfortable delivering.
Okay, awesome. I love it. And yeah, I really think that budgeting, it's maybe one of the trickiest things or most challenging things in a way when it comes to a Pledge Music project, in the sense that, you know, it really helps to kind of drill down and really try to get like the numbers that one wants to reach, the costs of things, and, you know, so that you actually know what you're gonna get and how you're gonna get to it, and know that at midway through the project is running, for example, you run out of funds for some reason, or you encounter problems of that type. And in terms of, you know, setting the own online presence. So for example, having a website, having a social media strategy in place, are those elements that, you know, every musician must have before embarking on such project, or do you think that it's something that can be done even afterwards?
I would say that it is a necessity. It is a piece that needs to be in place. There needs to be a pathway for the communication to get from the artist to the fan. So, you know, we do talk about things when we're talking about that communication strategy, that kind of third piece. How do you want this to play between you and your fans? The first thing we'll talk about is the delivery of the message. How many people can you tell about today that this album is now up for pre-order, and that people are going to get an inside look at the creative process? So we'll drill right in on whether or not that artist has an email list, whether or not they have Facebook and Twitter and they're actively engaging on those platforms. And then, you know, the other social networks, or YouTube, you know, where are the channels which your fans pick up their information from you? That is a very important piece to have in front of a project. And oftentimes what will happen is if an artist does not have that in place, we'll work with them, we'll help educate them on the things they need to do to build that presence up before we suggest launching a project. What's the worst thing that can happen if you don't have is this promotional channel is that nobody can really hear about it. So yes, Pledge Music has a great community, and we have a growing, vibrant community who are reacting to the projects that we put on the platform. But the initial momentum for any pre-order campaign is going to come directly from that artist's fan base. And those are the people, those are the tastemakers that will share the information of the project on their social networks, to their followers, that will help spread it out and attract new fans for the artist.
Love it. I know that it was kind of a rhetorical question, but I think it was great that, you know, from your words, one could really understand the reasons why one really needs to have a website in place, a social media strategy in place, if one is planning to run a Pledge Music project, to release an album through Pledge Music or something like that. Thanks, Jace, for those tips. So sure. you talked to us about the pre-launch strategy a little bit. You told us quickly how it works, what are the things we should really put attention to. And let's talk for a moment about the kind of the second step of the whole process. So the launch itself. How do you think, or maybe you have some examples also to share of people who have done incredibly well with their launches, but how do you think the kind of launch step works, and what are the things that we should think about when we are at that phase of the process?
Sure. Yeah. The launch step to me is, it's precision and it's consistency in messaging across your channels. Launching a campaign involves, pushing launch on Pledge Music and immediately sending out to your fan base newsletter a dedicated email newsletter that has clear call to action, that has the direct link supported many times within the text, at least two or three times in the text. It also requires, maybe a rebranding of your Facebook and your Twitter properties so that your banner images have a clear call to action and they're referring back. What you're really looking is throughout your own channels, you could basically be doing retargeting. If you send an email to a fan and the fan sees this kind of branding and this call to action but doesn't act, but then they happen to go back to your Facebook page, you want them to be seeing the same consistent message because perhaps they'll then act there. That's their comfort zone. So for the actual launch, it is a coordinated across all properties type of movement. If you're the type of artist that has access to, or that the launch messages requires a press release, it's delivering it in there as well. It's reaching out to those press or even local and friendly contacts that may have been supporters of previous projects or that are your most ardent fans, and keying them in to help be a part of delivering the launch messaging. And once that campaign's live and the pre-orders, the pledges start rolling in, it's all about presence. The artist needs to deliver upon what that message was before, which is, I will be present here. This will be a look into the creative process. So even though the creative process may not have started, using the Pledge Music platform to post updates, keeping the fans informed. Hey, we're nearly there to our goal. We're 50% of the way there. We've been buoyed by all of your support. I've seen certain artists, as the pre-orders come in, actually, thanking individual pledgers via social media vehicles, making sure that it's recognized that people are believing before this project comes out. They're there. And it's a very, very powerful thing to think that fans are so passionate about what your musical creativity is, that they're willing to support you. Sometimes it is 6-8 months before the release. And if it isn't, if it's more of just a straight pre-order campaign, and I meant to say earlier that, we wouldn't discriminate any project if it were just 2 months before the release and the release was already done, we can craft a very interactive pre-order campaign that says, hey, listen, the album's already done, but we want you to be looking into the scenes that happen while we release it. And as long as that kind of exclusive look is given, we can enact a 1 or 2 month pre-order campaign. So there is kind of a balance of product at Pledge Music that says we could do the funding side of campaign that has a much more advanced look to it. Or with a finished product, we could put up a pre-order that isn't just come to my website and buy it. It says there's some private updates here that'll give you a behind-the-scenes glimpse. There might be exclusive experiences or limited edition vinyl or different products and a different product mix here on Pledge Music that you can't get anywhere else.
Awesome. That's great. So, guys, if you have an album that is ready to go, you can still implement a pre-order strategy through pledge music, as Jace has just explained. That's great. It's great. So guys, you really can do it both ways. It's awesome, Jace, what you and the pledge music staff and or team, maybe I should say, do for the music community. And I want to ask you about the launch phase. You talked about you mentioned, for example, the importance of an email list with a clear call to action a few times. You talked about rebranding the social media images like banners, headers, Facebook covers that help driving traffic to the campaign. And are there some other tools or some strategies that you've seen implemented by some artists that you have thought, wow, they did a very good job in you know, kind of driving traffic toward their project?
Sure. Some of those things could be events, you know, kickoff events. I've seen a lot of online concerts that are, you know, staged to announce the events. So stageit.com is one place that I've seen artists do that type of thing on. Also live events. We've tailored the launch of campaigns specific to an artist saying, well, listen, in about 3 weeks, I have this show, this big show that I'd like to announce it at, where artists have created physical table cards or business cards or things like that, so that the, you know, 200 or 600 or however many people in the audience have a takeaway piece, coordinating some old fashioned kind of physical marketing, you know, properties to balance it out with. So I guess, you know, I've leaned heavily on the digital side of things, but there are some very specific, you know, traditional marketing techniques that can be done, including mailing out those things. I've seen a pretty wide mix of what artists will do. And I think ultimately artists understand who their audience is based on the interactions they've already had with them. That doesn't mean that they can't try new things, but ultimately there's a bit of intuition, I think, that sometimes artists just need that, you know, that, hey, you do know best, that kind of pat on the back approval that, yes, that will work. You know, if you build it, they will come type of mentality.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, I forgot, Jace, to ask you one question, especially for those who have an international fan base. So how does for example, the shipping work for those who have physical products related to their project? How does that part work?
Sure. Well, Pledge Music does have a global fulfillment solution if the artist chooses to use it, meaning we have manufacturing and fulfillment houses in the US, in Canada, in UK, access to third-party ones in Europe, in Australia. So we can help actually make sure that margins are maximized and that the artist isn't solely shipping international orders from just one location. If it's a smaller project, or if the artist, you know, needs that type of control, our back end, we are able to create regionalized shipping, meaning we'll research that before and make sure that based on weight, based on dimension, and based on that landed currency, the item is properly priced, so that an artist who's, say, working from the U.S. but delivering to Finland might have a completely different pricing scheme, obviously, for that country than they would for what they're shipping to the U.K. Mm-hmm. And that the way that's done is it's created in our back end with our campaign management team, who work with the artist on appropriately pricing for that region. And then when the pledger, the pre-order person, comes in, the Pledge Music system reads the IP address and makes sure that they're viewing the proper currency.
Okay, great. So you really got artists back. That's great. I just wanted to ask, because maybe some listeners have an international fan base and they are wondering, okay, is this only kind of a US-centric system, or how does it work? So thanks for the clarification on that. Great, Jay. So our album is ready to go. We have launched our project. So what's the next step? How can we kind of keep the momentum going?
Sure. It's going to be through what we would call updates. So it's in the creation of content that makes the artist and the fans connect. The constant delivery and redelivery of an experience and telling a story. And I would say that really what we're looking at here is the word experience.
Mm-hmm.
And giving the fans this inner look at the process. So we would be, perhaps we'd be in the studio, or perhaps we would be on our way to a gig. And the same way, you know, we might be posting a unique piece of information to Instagram, taking a photo. We would do a few extra special ones and maybe write some copy around those, describing to the pledgers, the pre-orderers on Pledge Music, what that is, what that means. So we would be, a couple times a week creating and delivering this special content. To the campaign, posting it through the Pledge Music platform, to the updates, and really devising ways with our campaign manager and Pledge Music, other ways to do it based on the analytics and the feedback that we're getting. So the campaign manager will be monitoring and watching and saying, you know what, your photo updates don't seem to be connecting as well. We're not seeing as many incoming pre-orders from that, but your video updates are. So maybe we would switch it over and you know go in and do some more updates. Some of my favorite updates, I'm a drummer, so if I get to see some drum tracking happening in the studio, even a 30-second clip, that's going to make me want to engage. And I think that as artists, you know, we're relying on the campaign manager to remind us, hey, listen, you know, there are niche fans amongst our fan base. You're a great sax player, and you know, you've got a bunch of people who love your sax playing. Let's make sure that we're posting a couple updates and a couple pictures. And maybe it's about instrument selection. On this track, we're using a soprano sax. On this track, we've got out the baritone. Keeping fans informed throughout the process. That's really where our focus is going to be once the campaign's live. So we're working with our campaign manager. We're getting feedback directly from them 1 to 2 times a week. We're posting updates. Every couple weeks to a month, maybe we're recirculating a message within our email newsletter that the pre-order is still up and still going on. And then we're starting to even deliver some of the items that have been pre-ordered. Just because a campaign's live doesn't mean that we can't be actively starting to deliver things. And from those things, maybe their experiences, maybe their events, maybe it's a Skype lesson. That's an opportunity to generate more content. You could take a picture, an online picture, a screenshot picture of you delivering that message. You could record a quick video clip of that on your computer. And showing that activity, showing people that, yes, we are committed and we are delivering an experience is really where your and my mindset wants to be, because that type of momentum begets more momentum. I think it's, my analogy is, the launch of a campaign is pushing that snowball over the edge. A great proper campaign is that snowball never gets stalled. It keeps on rolling down the hill, collecting more and more mass, collecting more and more momentum, and is eventually going to release out and crash into the forest once the music is released. And that's the picture I paint in my mind, and I try to deliver to artists that I work with.
love the analogy, and yeah, I think it's very, you talked about giving constant updates, and you gave some great suggestions, I should say, for example, behind the scene pictures or videos, and you also talked, you mentioned again the campaign manager who works closely with the artists, so who really keeps tracks of, you know, what's working and what is not working, which I think it's critical. Otherwise, some of us or some listeners may, you know, waste time into something that is not giving them the results they want to achieve. And I have to ask you something about the products or the pledges we put related to the project. So you gave some examples. You said it can be a Skype lesson. It can be pretty much anything, right? It can be a t-shirt. Sure. It can be. So I wanted to ask you if you have some suggestions for the listeners. Obviously, like we said earlier, it changes from band to band, from artist to artist. But have you seen any trends in the projects you have seen in terms of products that you think have worked very well?
Yes, absolutely. I think we can, you know, put a big asterisk right next to the current trend in vinyl. And for the right artists, vinyl is an extremely appropriate thing, especially maybe a limited edition version in a different color. That's something that can be priced up a bit. So I would say there's a great trend obviously going on in vinyl right now. I like to work with artists to balance out their product mix so that they have some items that they build margin into that doesn't cost them anything. So we see a thing like your name in the liner notes, you know, reserving a small section of that for fans who, you know, want a special dedication in the liner notes. And that can be up-priced. Test pressings from that vinyl are very unique, and maybe some higher priced items that can go in there. And if you're working with, you know, non-lyric type content, even though a handwritten lyric sheet is another great, very high margin type of thing to offer. If there's no lyrics to the music, perhaps it's the score or even the annotated score or the sheet music. We've seen a big uptick when the artwork is spectacular. I think that's the big thing, you know, missing from fans in the digital realm is that when I grew up, obviously it was albums and cassettes and CDs, and there were beautiful pieces of artwork, and you know, we would scour the liner notes to read and see what was going on and to see the images. So we've seen a great resurgence in large format silkscreen posters when there's a really great design to go with it. You know, a 16 by 20 or an 18 by 24 poster can be appropriately priced. We've built some good margin into it, and that seems to be a trending product right now. In the, you know, in the singer songwriter and rock areas in particular, experience wise, VIP experiences at concerts are always going to trend up. Fans who are the early supporters are the type of fans who want to interact with the artist at their live events. So those are always great products to build in. And there's a whole thing to be said about house concerts or house performances. If an artist is willing to go there and to do it, or if they can route around their existing tour to deliver house concerts to special fans in those areas while they're traveling, you can see a significant uptick in income based around some type of small, intimate house concerts.
Okay, so you mentioned house concerts, and guys, we talked about house concerts in episode 55 with Shannon Curtis, who shared her story and how she earned more than $20,000 with a house concert tour. So if you want to learn more about that topic, you should definitely check it out. And I also put the plug for another episodes, actually two episodes, episodes 34 and 52, where we talked about live concert streaming with James Wasm of Geeky and with Dan Gurney of Concert Window, because earlier Jace talked about how we can tailor our Pledge Music project around a launch concert or even a live concert streaming event. So those are definitely episodes you should check out if you want to learn more about those topics. And Jace, you gave some great recommendations of some products that you have seen that have worked very well for many members of the Pledge Music community. But maybe some question or a question that may pop up now in the listener's mind is, in terms of pricing, what kind of pricing should artists aim for? Do you think it's good, or maybe you it's something that you've seen as a trend to have kind of, you know, high-end products and kind of low-cost products, or where can artists find the balance in pricing their projects?
You used the right word. It's all about balance. I think, you know, sometimes an artist will be hesitant to high price things when ultimately a fan would be willing to pay a higher price for that thing. So, you know, there's a comfort level that every artist has in the pricing, and that will vary. But I will say that, you know, we know that, say, perhaps a $25 or a £20 or a €20 signed CD, you know, is going to be a high volume item. It is accessible. For many artists, a CD is still a very viable product, very viable option. It's tangible. It's something that the fan can display and covet and show other people that they got it signed by the artist. So I would say that, you know, we see a high volume $25 pledge when that art, when that item is priced there. For some things that have a higher production cost that are still kind of tangible like that, that $50 to $100 price range still sees some decent volume. So I would say that, you know, it is about the key price points. And as long as your margin can support it, you know, pricing things $25, $50, $75, and $100 will get you the volume of your pre-orders or your pledges. But after that, there's no reason, providing that it aligns with where the artist is in their career, to offer, you know, $500 and $1,000 and you know, $2,500 and up type things. I mean, we've sold $25,000 house concerts on Pledge Music. Wow. Individual single items for you know, artists like maybe the Dave Weckl band, an artist that's been established and things like that. We've sold, you know, $25,000 and $30,000 signed guitars for artists that have that type of career, and they've achieved that type of status that they can, you know, offer an item like that. Not every artist is quite there yet. But there is still, you know, a significant amount of $500 signed guitars that we've seen move too. So, you know, it spreads the gamut. I think the pricing has a lot to do with where their artist is in their career trajectory or career path, and that you know, the balance will be what the artist is comfortable with, and maybe a little bit of pushing from Pledge Music for the most part on saying, you know what, you can price that a little bit higher, or you know what, because we've said in the disclaimer, contact us for the additional shipping cost for that high weight item, that, you know, you can price it at, you know, this price, and the fan will assume the cost of the additional shipping that will help them transact.
Okay, yeah, great. And actually, it's great that you mentioned this part of, you know, it really depends also where you guys are in your career. Obviously, it really varies if you're starting out and you kind of want to experiment with this, or if you're already an established musician with a big fan base, then you can definitely charge more. And we have talked about the project from the perspective of our fans. So the fans that are already interested in what we are doing, who are maybe following us on social media or have already purchased our music before. But do you think it's possible to leverage a Pledge Music project to actually also get new fans?
Absolutely. So when we designed the platform, we added in a very unique thing. It's a social syndication technology. And essentially what that means is that when the transaction occurs, each fan is asked, would you like to connect your Facebook and Twitter to share the project details? And the most ardent fans then become these basically a social street team for the artist. When the artist posts an update, you know, that photo or that video we talked about, a little blurb then goes and links back to that update from the fan's page or from the fan's Twitter wall. So absolutely, with those activators, you are reaching more people that are away from your fan base.
Okay. Wow.
So it's absolutely a high priority of our platform, our technology, and for the campaign managers to help create, update subject lines and update content that will get new people to come in and take a look and see. Now, as a part of that technology, you know, we want to keep those updates private for the most part to the people and reward the people who have already pre-ordered. So what we did is we built in a preview. So a 15 or a 30 second preview that when that fan clicks on that content on, say, you know, I pre-ordered your album, and it goes out to my wall and my friend sees it and clicks on it on my wall, if they have not pledged, they only get a preview of that content. They get a short little clip, and hopefully they're encouraged to say, hey, that was really great. I want to see the end result. I want to see the other updates here. They will then pledge in to gain access. The minimum pledge being, you know, say a $10 entry point to get the digital version of the release when it comes out. So what we're saying is build great content, build great subject lines, allow the social syndication technology to reach people, allow the people to see a little taste of what that is, and then let them know that, hey, the greater reward here is that there's a true experience going on. You're not just buying a $10 digital album. You're buying access to a creative experience. And that social syndication technology is all about tracking in new fans, fans that you have not reached yet.
I love it. And guys, did you notice how Jace uses the word experience? He really emphasized the word experience. And I think, like you said earlier at the beginning of this episode, that, you know, it's all about providing your fans with a great experience and really making them part of the project. And it's great that artists also have the opportunity through what you just told us, this social syndication system, that can reach new fans and have kind of a social media street team. I love this. And the last question, it's obviously kind of how can we keep the momentum going? So once the project is finished, how can we keep that going? You know, the hype that there has been, the engagement of our community, and maybe even the new people that have started to follow us because of our Pledge Music project. How can we, like, what do we take it from there?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. I think we use the term cradle to grave and experience together, and I truly believe that when that handwritten lyric sheet and that CD or that experience gets delivered, it has to be absolutely amazing. It has to be, you know, not a cracked case, not a torn edge on the handwritten lyric sheet. And then there has to be a customer service response if there is. Pledge Music provides that layer of customer response, but ultimately, you know, the artist has to be committed to saying, you know what, I'm going to resend you a new one because it needs to be great for you. And once that end experience is so great, the door is wide open for another campaign down the road. What you do in between to keep the momentum going is continue with the ideology that this relationship between you and your fans can remain great outside of the campaign. A Pledge Music campaign never dies in the sense that you can always go back in and message those people. It might be closed for pledging. There might not be any products up for sale, but essentially it's still a hub of activity to tell those 200, 500, 1,000, 10,000 people who pre-ordered, to give them information, to keep them stirring, to keep them feeling a part of what's going on with you, the artist. It has a little bit of a likeness to a fan club in some sense, but I think that the new idea of a fan club is that every fan deserves the same great experience, you know? Regardless of if that fan, you know, purchased the $25,000 house concert or the $10 download. So the momentum is going to, you know, be about, a lot of the momentum is going to be about getting out there and continuing to play live and continuing to take the time at those live events to speak to your fans if you're comfortable doing that. Not every artist is comfortable with that face-to-face interaction, but I can guarantee there is a way to acknowledge the fan, you know, the importance of the fan, if you are uncomfortable, without, you know, being in that direct kind of contact or context. But it really is, you know, remaining aware that even the smallest acknowledgement of that relationship can go the longest way. And I think that's how the momentum remains. I mean, you can say that the momentum is, you know, about playing those shows, about shaking those hands, about kissing those babies, as we say here in the States, and really acknowledging the importance of those fans.
Awesome. I think, you know, there couldn't have been any better point to wrap up this episode. And Jace, I want to, first of all, thank you so much for providing value to the Jazz Spotlight podcast and for telling us more about the different phases of our Pledge Music project and for telling the listeners more about how to get their fans support for their next project. And if people would like to connect with you online or they have some question, what is the best way to reach you?
I would say reach out to me directly at Jace, J-A-Y-C-E, pledgemusic.varden, V as in Victor, A-R-D-E-N, at pledgemusic.com. Be happy to respond and give you some advice or even chat if need be. And we have a team at the ready, obviously, that if you do decide to run a campaign with us, I'll make sure that you're got to the right person at the right time and hopefully a successful project.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Chase.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we are back. Jace, thank you so much for being here on the podcast, for giving out some valuable tips. And thanks also to you and the Pledge Music team for all that you guys do for the music community. It's great. Thank you, guys. Okay, this is episode 66 of the podcast. Next week, another great week. And I'm sure that many of you are really going to love Tuesday's episode, because on Tuesday, we talk about how you can leverage interviews to turn listeners or viewers into fans. That's right. Let's say you have a podcast interview like this one or a radio interview, or you're interviewed for a TV channel or whatever it may be. And, there are people that are going to listen to the interview. They're going to watch the interview. But how can you turn them into your fans? So how can you turn those kind of random viewer or listeners into fans and hopefully at some point into super fans? Well, guess what? We're going to talk about that on Tuesday. On Thursday's episode, it's also going to be very interesting, especially for those of you who are thinking about starting their own music festival, because we're going to talk about how to organize a music festival as a do-it-yourself musician. That's right, my guest on Thursday, she's going to share her story and she's going to tell us how she has managed to launch her music festival, which has been going on now for a few years as an independent musician. Sounds like fun, right? Well, if you have 2 minutes to spare, go to thejazzpotlet.com/show, which is the iTunes page of the podcast, and hit the subscribe button so that you subscribe and you get all the episodes automatically on your device. And while you're at it, don't forget to leave a rating and review there on iTunes, or if you use Stitcher, on Stitcher at thejazzpotlet.com/Stitcher. Your reviews will help the podcast be found by other people so that more people can benefit from it. Thank you again for listening to this great and fun episode of the Jazz Spotlight Podcast. Like always, I'm your host, Yanni Lunga. I'm pretty sure you know me by now, but in case it's the first time listening to the podcast, welcome, and I hope that you'll tune again next week. Take care.